Welcome to Agent Driven Development, Essential or Ornamental 2028, published March 14th, 2026.
The steaks were overcooked, the kids were loud, and Marcus Webb was checking his phone under the table. It is 6 o'clock on Friday, March 28, 2025, in Fort Lauderdale. Edward Johnson watched his best friend's thumb moving across the screen and said nothing. 25 years of friendship had taught him when to push and when to wait. "So tell me about the switch," Marcus said, finally pocketing the phone. He turned to Sophia, Edward's oldest pre-med to computer science. "Your mom almost had a stroke. She did not." Jennifer's voice carried from across the table. She called Sarah, crying. She called Sarah concerned. "There's a difference." Sophia was 18, home from Georgia Tech for spring break. She rolled her eyes. It was not that dramatic. Something clicked in advanced placement computer science. "I was actually making things instead of memorizing what dead people figured out 100 years ago. Don't say that," is what I have been telling her. "You haven't been telling her anything. You have been working." Sarah did not look up from helping Isaiah cut his steak. Marcus closed his mouth, opened it again. "Walk me through the hackathon thing, the one you won." Sophia set down her fork. 48 hours, four people. "We built a functioning app that would have taken a whole semester 2 years ago, maybe longer. How? The AI does not write code for you. Everyone thinks that." She paused. "You know how Dad describes his first commanding officer? The guy who could look at any problem and ask the one question that made everything click?" Edward looked up from his plate. "It is like that," Sophia continued, "except it never sleeps and knows every programming language ever invented. But it only works if you know what you're trying to build." She stabbed a piece of steak. "The teams that lost, way better programmers than us. They just kept changing their minds. The AI made them faster at going in circles." "So the bottleneck is clarity," Edward said. "Not technical skill, basically." Marcus's phone buzzed. He glanced down. Victoria Hartwell, something about initial public offering compliance, and his thumb was typing before he had made a conscious decision. "And my professor says by 2026, anyone who cannot..." "Sorry, what?" Sophia's expression flickered, just for a moment. Then she smoothed it over. "I was saying the skills are changing fast, right?" "Right." Marcus pocketed the phone. "That is really cool, Soph." The conversation moved on. Basketball season, science projects. Whether Emma was actually applying to the Naval Academy, but Edward watched Sophia. She had noticed Marcus checking his phone. She had shortened her answer, wrapped it up, made it easy for him to move on. 18 years old and already learning to read a room. At 9:30 p.m., the water was black and still somewhere across the intracoastal. A neighbor was playing music too loud for a Friday night. "You're still thinking about it," Marcus said, casting his line into the darkness. "Aren't you? I'm thinking about 18 months of clean execution and ringing the bell at the New York Stock Exchange." The reel clicked as he let out more line. "After that, we can play with AI tools. Do the whole transformation thing, and if 18 months is too long, it is not." Marcus turned to face him. "Ed, it took us 4 years to build Axiom. Meridian is still running green screens. Transglobal just figured out global positioning system tracking. Nobody is catching us in 18 months. What if the rules changed? Rules don't change that fast." Edward did not answer. The music across the water switched to something slower. "There was this guy, Harold," he said finally, "at my first job, defense contractor, ran the tape library for the mainframes, knew every tape, every backup, every recovery procedure, the guy you called when everything went sideways." Edward reeled in his line slowly. "Then they moved to disk-based backup, 18 months, and Harold's whole career became irrelevant. They gave him a desk in compliance. Make work stuff. He had gone from the guy everyone needed to the guy nobody called. That is depressing as hell. Essential to ornamental in 18 months, you're not going to become Harold. How do you know? Because you're paranoid enough to worry about it." Marcus grinned. "Besides, I won't care if I'm irrelevant in 2028. I will be rich." Edward looked at him. "Really looked? What?" "Nothing. You're doing that thing where you think something and don't say it. I'm not. You're 25 years. I know the face." Edward cast his line, watched it arc into the darkness. "I just wonder if the initial public offering is the finish line or the starting gun." "It is $13 million. Marcus checked his phone again. "That is a finish line." He stood, brushing off his jeans. "Look, I got to deal with this. Board stuff." "Go." Marcus headed back toward the house, phone already at his ear. Edward stayed on the dock, watching the lights on the water. "I won't care if I'm irrelevant in 2028. I will be rich." Maybe he was right. Maybe the money would be enough. The music across the water had stopped after the initial public offering between April and May of 2025. 15 months to the bell had become Marcus Webb's mantra. It is 7:45 a.m. on Tuesday, April 8th at Axiom headquarters in Fort Lauderdale. Every decision, every meeting, every strategic choice filtered through that single constraint. 15 months until Axiom went public, 15 months until he rang the opening bell at the New York Stock Exchange, 15 months until the 4 years of sacrifice finally paid off. Marcus had grown up on a cattle ranch outside Tulsa. His father was still the foreman there, 64 years old, up at 4 a.m., working cattle in weather that would kill most men. Marcus had learned to ride before he could read, learned that delayed work meant dead cattle, learned that you solved problems with your hands and your back and your stubborn refusal to quit. He had been a cowboy, a real one. Wrestling had been his ticket out. State champion at 171 pounds, good enough for the Coast Guard Academy. His father had driven him to New London in a truck held together by rust and prayer, shook his hand at the gate, and said three words, "Make it count." Marcus had made it count. He met Sarah at a dive bar. By the time he graduated, they were inseparable. They got married in June 2003. The Coast Guard sent them to Kodiak, Alaska. Marcus worked search and rescue coordination, but the real education happened after hours. He brought a laptop and taught himself to code in the long Alaskan winters. By the time they left Kodiak, he had a portfolio of working software and a certainty that he wanted to build things for a living. His last 3 years of service were in San Francisco. When his five-year commitment ended in 2008, he took a job at a startup. The next 12 years were a blur of startup chaos. Each time Marcus told Sarah this was the one, each time he was wrong. By 2018, he had spent 10 years betting on other people's visions. Six startups, six failures. Each time he had taken less money for more equity. Soren recruited him with stability, senior software development engineer. The money was real. He hated it. 2 years in the valley watching his restricted stock units vest while the commute ate his soul. The cowboy who had grown up solving problems with his hands had become a cog in a machine. Then Sarah got the call to run a charitable trust in Florida, $120,000 a year, 2 days a week. In summer 2020, they sold the Bay Area house and moved to Coral Ridge. Marcus went to a local startup meetup and met Kyle Mercer and Darren Choi. They had a hypertext preprocessor app and a dream. Marcus was ready to bet on himself again. When he walked into Axiom in early 2021, the company had two customers and $30,000 in annual recurring revenue. The tech stack was running on a free tier. Sarah thought he was crazy, but Marcus saw the best product in a $40 billion market. They offered him 12% of the company, 12% of nothing. The problem was money. They needed a development team. Kyle and Darren were tapped out. Venture capitalists would not fund a company with no revenue. So Marcus took out an equity loan against a new house. The cash reserves went first, then the $50,000 equity loan, then the retirement accounts, his 401k from Soren cashed out with penalties. Sarah's modest individual retirement account, all of it poured into Axiom during 2 years he took no salary. Everything they had built was gone, converted into shares of a company that barely existed. That money hired the first five engineers, Derek Huang and Prakash Venkataraman. Those engineers built the features that landed the enterprise customers. 4 years later, Axiom had 400 engineers, $240 million in annual recurring revenue, and $1 billion valuation. But Marcus's 12% had not stayed 12%. Dilution crushed him. Now he held 1.4% of a company valued at $950 million, $13 million on paper. Sometimes late at night, Marcus did the math. If he had kept that original 12% at $950 million, that was $114 million, instead $13 million. Still life-changing, but a fraction of what might have been. Big money had become small money, one funding round at a time. He still drove a 12-year-old minivan. His son's college funds were empty, raided in year two when the credit card juggling ran out. They still owed $50,000 on the equity loan. He had mortgaged his family's future on this bet. All of it riding on July 6, 2026. If the initial public offering failed, if the stock cratered, if $13 million became $3 million, he would have risked everything for nothing. That was why he could not afford to take risks. Now, not with the bell 15 months away. After the initial public offering, we can experiment, he told himself. After the initial public offering, we can take risks. After the initial public offering, this all becomes worth it. It was a mantra. A way to defer every hard question until the finish line was behind him. First, he had to get there. The leadership sync started at 8 o'clock. Catherine Bell sat at the head of the table. She ran meetings with the efficiency of a metronome. She had been brought in to fix what the founders could not. She spoke the language of board members. Annual recurring revenue growth, gross margins, customer acquisition, cost payback periods. Technology was a black box that produced metrics. Derek Huang, Vice President of Engineering, cleared his throat. AI development tools, he said. GitHub, Copilot, Claude, GPT-4 for code generation. The team keeps asking, what is our position? Prakash Venkataraman, the principal architect, leaned forward. Marcus, the developers are going to use these tools, whether we sanction them or not. I would rather we get ahead of it. Build an AI strategy, Catherine cut in, is not having AI coding tools going to directly cause us to lose customers in the next 15 months. Can you prove that? Derek hesitated. No authorized AI development tools, Catherine said, none. Anyone caught using unauthorized AI tools will be terminated immediately, and they will forfeit their unvested equity. The room went still. We are 15 months from the bell, Catherine continued. I will not let experimental technology introduce variance into our metrics. She turned to Marcus. Anything to add? Marcus leaned forward. Look, I get it, but we are not some legacy company trying to catch up. We are the transformation. Meridian is still running green screens. Things don't evolve quickly in the enterprise. We don't need to chase the next shiny thing. We are the shiny thing, Derek asked, if they just wait. We execute, Marcus said. We ship. We go public. The decision was made to forfeit their unvested equity that would keep the engineers in line. The board meeting at the end of April was supposed to be routine. Axiom's board was dominated by Blackwood Capital. Victoria Hartwell, the lead independent director, pulled up a report. More enterprises are using AI to build software, she said. McKinsey says it is accelerating. We are not in the conversation. What is our response? Marcus had prepared for this. Victoria, we already have AI. He said, predictive features demand forecasting. What you're reading about is using AI to build software. Why would I introduce experimental tools right before an initial public offering? That is how you ship bugs and spook the underwriters. We execute the plan. After the initial public offering, we can have this conversation properly. Later, Kwame Okonkwo, a new board member, caught Marcus in the hallway. I've watched companies do this, he said, always after something. We are not those companies, Marcus said. He went back to his office. Meridian Freight had gone dark. No product announcements, no conference presence. Their stock chart was a flat line at $9. The analyst commentary was brutal. Meridian continues to serve its existing customer base, but shows no signs of innovation. Marcus closed the laptop, satisfied. Meridian was exactly what he thought, a legacy company coasting on existing contracts. He would check again after the initial public offering. At home, Sarah told him he missed his son's basketball game. 14 months, Marcus said. 14 months and all of this becomes worth it. MJ has stopped expecting you to show up, Sarah said. That is what worries me. Late at night, Marcus sat at his desk. He typed a heading. Where does work get stuck? He tracked the last three major features. The average was 14 weeks. 14 weeks from we should build this to customers can use it. Requirements gathering took 2 weeks. Waiting for approvals took two more. Development was only 3 weeks on average. Everything else was waiting. Queues, checkpoints, delays, he could fix this, but Catherine would ask questions. Any significant process change would introduce variance. Variance spooked investors. He highlighted the analysis and pressed delete. It is not looking away, he told himself. It is prioritizing. Edward sits at the edge of the dock at 5:30 a.m. on May 1st, 2025. He has been coming here every morning since spring break. He is wrestling with Marcus's words. I won't care if I'm irrelevant in 2028. I will be rich. Edward cannot stop thinking about Harold. The expert who became obsolete overnight, caution had kept Edward alive in the Persian Gulf. But caution could curdle into paralysis. He is 43 years old. If he doesn't figure this out, the board will bring in someone who will. Jennifer had given up her career to raise their three daughters. Everything rode on Edward's salary and his relevance. But there was something more immediate. The medication tracking feature, it had been in the backlog for 18 months. It could save thousands of lives by flagging drug interactions. It sat there, stuck, because the engineering team was buried in maintenance. The process was designed to produce activity, not outcomes. Rachel Torres, his chief of staff, told him engineers were using AI tools on their own, copying code into ChatGPT, using personal Copilot accounts. If they are doing this despite the risk, Edward said, there's a need we are not meeting. Figure out why they are in pain. He brought in consultants from Stratton McKelvey. They proposed a transformation roadmap, 24 to 48 months, 90 days just to assess. Edward asked if any of them actually built software with AI tools. Silence, we are consultants, the lead said. Edward fired them. Save $2 million and 2 years of nothing. They can't teach what they have never learned, he told Rachel. He tried the vendors next, slick slides, impressive demos, but none of them could help him ship the medication tracking feature. He would have to figure this out on his own. At 2 a.m., he almost called the consultants back because he was scared. Jennifer told him to delete the email. You know how to build? Ed, trust that. On May 24, he downloaded Claude Code, Copilot, and Cursor. He started small, a Python script to parse log files. It took a junior engineer 2 days. Edward had it working in 3 hours. It was elegant. It was fun. He felt the joy of building come back after 8 years away. Sophia came home for spring break and found him on the dock. She walked him through her workflow. Prompt patterns. Context windows. My professor says, don't fall in love with the hammer, she said. Fall in love with the house you're building. Edward realized the transformation industry was selling expertise it did not have. The real expertise was in dorm rooms and on docks. He flew to Atlanta to speak to her computer club. He didn't lecture. He asked them what they were building. He learned more from those 20-year-olds in 2 hours than from every consultant he had met. Back at Riverton, he gathered 6 engineers. Where does work get stuck? He asked. They mapped a process, not the official documentation. The reality requirements to design took 3 weeks. Waiting for environment provisioning took 2 weeks. Writing manual test scripts took 2 weeks. HIPAA review took 3. 13 weeks total to ship a single feature. 11 weeks of waiting, 2 weeks of work, 85% of cycle time was queue time. This is not a technology problem, Edward said. This is a process problem. He went to the chief executive officer, David Aldridge. Give me 90 days and one feature, he said. The medication tracking feature. If we can ship it in 90 days, I have proven the approach works, David agreed. Edward dissolved the existing governance committees and created the AI Software Development Lifecycle Board. One board. Decisions in 24 hours or less. No more waiting for meetings. He reassigned 20 quality assurance engineers who were doing manual testing. They knew the system better than anyone. Instead of clicking screens, they started building features. The infrastructure team pushed too fast and the staging environment went down for 12 hours. The board wanted to shut everything down. Edward told them the approach didn't prevent the failure. It made it visible and learnable. On day 87, the medication tracking feature passed final testing. They had cut the cycle from 13 weeks to under 5. AI handled 3 of the bottlenecks. The other 4 were just process bloat. The feature that could save lives was finally going to ship, not because of a transformation roadmap, but because they asked the simple question, what is stopping us? And then they fixed it. 13 months to the bell, Catherine Bell sat at the head of the table at Axiom in June 2025. The elevator pitch was simple. Axiom disrupts freight management. 12% market share. Our competitors are years behind. Marcus handled the AI questions. No material changes to development methodology are planned, he said. We protect the registration, Prakash Venkataraman told him. Meridian had gone dark. No product announcements. They are dying, Marcus said. We have a 4-year head start. In Manhattan, Margaret Sullivan at Hartley Shipping told him the roadmap was slipping. AI-powered route optimization was promised for 2024. Now it is 2025. My team jokes you have gone business casual, she said. If Meridian shipped the features you keep promising, I would have to take a look. Marcus laughed it off. He caught Derek Huang at his car. Are we moving fast enough, he asked. No, Derek said. We are protecting a trajectory instead of building a future. I would map the process and find where work gets stuck. Marcus stood in the empty garage. He could fix this. But the bell was 12 months away. After the initial public offering, he told himself, in October 2025, the second wave of pilot selection began at Riverton. Edward used the excitement around AI to force middle management to fix the process. If a team did not have 4 hours to map their value stream, he didn't let them in the pilot. Then a crisis hit. A nurse at St. Augustine Memorial accessed the system during a code blue. The medication module locked up for 11 seconds. The patient was fine, but the near miss was filed. The root cause was automated logging that wasn't optimized for real-time access. We fixed one bottleneck and created another, Edward said. He paused the rollout and added a stress testing requirement. He owned the mistake publicly. Johnny Morrison, the transformation lead, went to the board to shut Edward down. A patient could have been harmed, he said. Edward told the board that under the old governance, they had 3 incidents last year and no one knew why. This time, they found the root cause in hours. The board let him continue. But Johnny joined the AI board. Friction became accountability. The security team cut their response time from 14 days to 3. They removed a manual compliance gate and then hit a HIPAA audit finding. They had assumed a gate was waste when it was actually load-bearing. Edward added a new step. Interview the person who performs the gate before you cut it. Learn what it actually does. Kevin Nakamura, the veteran code reviewer, was ready to quit. He thought AI was going to replace his 15 years of intuition. Edward bought him coffee. It is a filter, not a replacement, Edward said. The AI handles the syntax, so you can focus on the architecture. Kevin became the pilot's most rigorous auditor. By November, the medication feature was in 23 hospitals already catching drug interactions. real patients safer. Sandra Williams, the chief financial officer, backed the results. She told the board the process improvement was the innovation, not the AI. Johnny Morrison was reassigned under the chief technical officer. He resigned. You can't stop the flood, Edward thought. You just build channels for the water. By February 2026, the quarterly review at Riverton told a story that numbers rarely tell. 10%, that was the organization-wide improvement. The pilot teams were up 40%, but averaged across 400 engineers. It was 10. The approach worked when Edward was in the room, but it didn't scale sequentially. The infrastructure team optimized the wrong thing. The mobile team shipped features faster that nobody wanted. The framework was powerful enough to be weaponized by managers looking for headcount reductions. Success was supposed to bring better problems. Instead, it brought chaos. Edward realized he was the bottleneck. He had built a dependency, not a transformation. He spent his political capital on the pilots and didn't have enough left to restructure the whole organization. So he took a job at Cascade Technologies. They offered him a blank canvas, 150,000 person company, where he could build a parallel organization from scratch. No legacy process to fight. He wasn't abandoning the work. He was going where it could actually move, at Axiom. Marcus was oblivious to the shift. Whitfield Capital upgraded them to a strong buy with a $22 price target. I was right, Marcus thought. All the doubters were wrong. Then customer success flagged 12 accounts as at risk. Customers were asking about Project Prometheus. A mysterious startup was approaching them with free migration, and features Axiom had not even scoped. Marcus told them to stay warm. We are 2 months from the bell, he said. Once we have public capital, we can accelerate. On July 5th, 2026, the news alert changed everything. Meridian Freight was behind Project Prometheus. They had rebuilt their entire tech stack in 14 months using a tiger team of 14 engineers and aggressive AI tools. They had kept it secret until the day before Axiom's initial public offering. 14 months. 14 engineers. Marcus's four-year moat was gone. The silence had not been Meridian dying. It was them building. The migration offer included a 90-day switchover guarantee. They were specifically targeting his customers. Marcus Webb rang the opening bell on July 6th. The sound was resonant and deep, but the stock did not pop. It opened at $16 and started to slide. 15-80, 15 to a 50 by market close. $12, 25% down in one day. Marcus's stake was worth $10 million on paper, but he was in a 180-day lockup. He could only watch as the value evaporated. He found out a senior architect had already left for Meridian. 14 people beat 400. 14 people with the right tools and the right questions in August. The stock hit $10. Catherine Bell resigned. I build companies for exits. She said, I don't rebuild them after exits go wrong. In September, it hit $8. In October 7, Marcus finally called Edward. Tell me how to catch up, he said. Edward told him there was no playbook. Start with the outcome. Map the process, separate real constraints from invented ones. Prove it small. Marcus tried to learn to build with AI at 3 a.m. He failed. The 15-year gap was too wide. He hired consultants for $2.4 million. They proposed an 18-month roadmap. They never once asked what was stopping him from shipping. By November, the stock was at $6. The board offered Marcus garden leave, 12 months of paid silence. He accepted, but with one condition. He wanted access to all the technical training materials. He would take 2027 to become relevant in 2028. He met Edward on the dock on Christmas Eve. He showed him a compass Edward had given him. Valuable to someone willing to admit they are lost. Edward had said, Marcus was lost, but he was finally asking questions. A year later, in December 2027, the work continues. Marcus's first client, Plainsight Field Services, had a feature stuck for 11 months. He mapped the process and found 43 days of waiting for 5 days of work. He fixed the decision path. The feature shipped in 3 weeks. Sophia got a job at Cascade. Edward's parallel organization is growing, but it is starting to develop its own politics. The looking never stops. The process you never examine becomes the bottleneck you cannot fix. Success can turn into a new kind of blindness if you let it. Marcus still carries the compass. He is finally asking how to keep...
Thanks for listening to Agent Driven Development. Find more at agentdrivendevelopment.com.